If you'd open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Our scripture today is verses 12 through 31. It's a long passage, but there's some real power in this passage. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you that while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the living God. In April of 2011, a Massachusetts man named Rick Hill was vacationing at Waikiki Beach in Hawaii with his family. While walking on the beach, they stopped a man named Joe Parker and asked him if he would take their picture. The man said he would. As he prepared to take the picture, instead of saying, say cheese, he said, say Leominster. When he said that, Rick Hill asked him why he would say something so unusual. Joe Parker replied that Leominster was the name of his hometown in Massachusetts. Rick Hill responded with amazement that they were from the neighboring town of Lunenburg. Lunenburg, maybe. Okay, Berg. As the men talked further, they realized that they knew some of the same people. During the conversation, one of the men mentioned his father, Dickie, which was the nickname of Dick Halligan. At that saying, the scene became surreal. The other man's father was also named Dickie, Dick Halligan. Suddenly, the two men understood something almost unbelievable. They were half brothers. They were family. They were family, and they discovered one another 6,000 miles from their homes. Now, that's an amazing story. The men said they had a vague awareness that they might have a brother somewhere, but they had never met until this chance encounter. That meeting floored them, just as it floored me when I read it. Somehow I can't help but think many Christians have a similar experience with the Holy Spirit. We are vaguely aware that the Holy Spirit is there, but oftentimes believers don't really feel as if they have met, and certainly not as if they know the Holy Spirit. But then it happens. Somewhere in our Christian journey, we finally meet and we know the Holy Spirit. In truth, He's been there since the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But because of our misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we feel, when we first begin to understand His presence and power, as if we have just discovered a long-lost family member. When Christians who have not been taught about the Holy Spirit finally come to understand who He is, they may feel like Rick Hill and Joe Parker did. They may feel like they've felt when you meet someone for the first time. Surprised, enthused, overwhelmed, but a bit regretful that they may have missed out on a good bit that they could have experienced if they had known one another earlier. My prayer this morning is that you will come to understand and know the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. In saying this, let me acknowledge two important things. First, I believe, as I mentioned earlier, that we receive the Spirit when we are saved. I believe that the Holy Spirit, from the moment of conversion, desires to be understood and known. And while His purpose is never really to draw attention to Himself, but rather to point to Jesus, it is clear that the Lord did not intend for the character and work of the Holy Spirit to be any kind of a hidden mystery. The Holy Spirit wants you to understand who He is and what He's doing. And secondly, we need to understand that Satan, the devil, does not want us to really know the Holy Spirit and what He's doing. In fact, the devil hates the person and work of the Spirit and desires for the people of God to either remain ignorant of the Spirit or become so fixated on the Spirit that they don't look at Jesus, who the Spirit points to. But I believe Satan desires ignorance most of all. That's because there's a liberating, freeing, empowering dynamic that comes when we understand who the Spirit is and what He's doing, especially in our lives. The Holy Spirit is a great weapon against Satan. He empowers us. So the devil doesn't want us to know Him. And whatever he can do to block our understanding of Him, he will do. In his wonderful book on the Holy Spirit, Forgotten God, Francis Chan said this, and I quote, "If I were Satan and my ultimate goal was to thwart God's kingdom and purposes, one of my main strategies would be to get churchgoers to ignore the Holy Spirit." The degree to which this has happened and is directly connected, I think, is directly connected to the dissatisfaction a lot of Christians have with and in the church. The feeling is so strong that some have left the church and God's Word completely. See, I believe this missing something is actually a missing someone, namely the Holy Spirit. You see, without Him, people operate in their own strength, and they only accomplish small results. You see, the world isn't moved by love or actions that are human creation, and the church is not empowered to live differently than any other gathering of people without the Holy Spirit. But when believers live in the power of the Spirit, it is evident that their lives and the church is different. And the world can't help but notice. The latter half of John 14 contains an amazing teaching from Jesus on the person and work of the Holy Spirit, to the end that we might know Him and that we might know Jesus better, the one that He points to. And I think it gives us the ability to be better equipped to follow Jesus in the world that we live in today. And it enables us to more strongly overcome the wiles of the devil. Let's see what Jesus reveals about the Spirit. Remember that Jesus is preparing His disciples for the events of the crucifixion, resurrection, and ascension. He will be leaving them, as He has already said. Naturally, this created a crisis moment in their minds, for this miracle-working, kingdom-proclaiming, storm-calming, devil-destroying Jesus was actually going to leave. Where would that leave them? After all, Jesus was the Lord who did amazing works, not the disciples. Jesus was the one with the power, not the disciples. And Jesus always knew what to say, not the disciples, or so they thought. Jesus knew their thoughts and He knew their fears. So He turned His attention to their concerns and spoke of a great gift that He was going to give them. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in Me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in My name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask Me anything in My name, I will do it. If you love Me, you will keep My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. You know Him, for He dwells in you and will be in you. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I mean, that is an outstanding teaching in itself. Against the fears of Jesus' departure, He speaks a word into their lives that would further deepen their understanding of just what our relationship with Jesus is supposed to be like and the way He operates. Specifically, He tells them they will do greater works than He has done. How can that be? I think we can best get at the answer by looking at verses 12 through 18 in a reverse order. Consider in verses 16 to 18, God the Father will send the Spirit. The important point, though, is to see that God gives the Holy Spirit to His people. Verse 15, God the Father will send God the Spirit to those who love God the Son. The you in verse 15 refers to those who love Jesus Christ. It's important to understand that the Holy Spirit is not a universal gift. It's a selective gift. It is given only to those who know and love Jesus. This is why Jesus said in verse 17 that the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. They cannot because the world neither believes in or loves Jesus. In other words, the Holy Spirit is given to the church. In verses 13 and 14, God the Father will send God the Spirit to those who love God the Son, so that the works of God the Son can continue in and through the lives of those who believe. I'm reading that text backwards because it's important to understand that the works we do through the power of the Spirit that are spoken of in verse 12 are directly linked to belief in and love of God the Son. The Bible never presents a mechanistic view or a mechanistic understanding of God. The Holy Spirit is not an ATM machine, and Jesus cannot be manipulated by anyone. But if we love the Son and keep His commandments, our desires will conform to His desires, and He will grant what we desire. He will grant it through the Spirit in the name of the Son for the glory of the Father. The works that God the Son continued to do through the power of God, the Spirit, are for the glory of God. And they will exceed the works that He did in His incarnation. When we understand this, I think we're ready to approach verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. To love Jesus is to love the Father who sent Jesus. To love God is to desire what God desires. And to desire what God desires is to ask Him to complete His work in the world now. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. To ask God to complete His work in the world now is to ask Him in the name of Jesus to work through the Spirit. To open ourselves to the power of that indwelling Spirit and to become a conduit for all that God wants to do and accomplish. As Jesus said, His disciples would do even greater things than He did. Now, what on earth can that mean? As the verse that follows, verse 12, shows, the greater things we do are not in opposition to the things Jesus did. On the contrary, they are a continuation of all the works that Jesus did. For only those who receive Jesus can receive the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, unlike Jesus, the works we do are not germane to us and do not arise naturally from our person. They were germane to Jesus. The works arose from who Jesus is, but the works we do, while greater, are gifted works. Works granted to us and works through us. And who gives the gift of the works and their fruit? Jesus Christ. So in what way are our works greater than Jesus? They are so in a few different ways. First, the quantity of our works are greater. The Lord walked on the earth as an incarnate man for just over 30 years. And while many followed during those 30 years, our works are greater now because there are a lot more believers to work with. Jesus doesn't begin with 12 today. He begins with millions. So the quantity of works should far exceed the number of works committed by a much smaller group of disciples. And the breadth of our works are greater. They're greater than those works committed in the days of Jesus. In the days of the incarnate Jesus, the work of the gospel was much more geographically limited, centralized, than it is today. Today, disciples of Jesus are spread out throughout the entire earth. They're in every corner of the world. Our works are greater because they involve more disciples spread over a much greater area than they were in the first century. And the presence of our works create greater surprise. Finally, consider this. While the watching world was shocked and amazed at the works of Jesus the Son, it was of course natural that He would do the works of the Father. And Jesus could do the works of God because Jesus was God and is God. But consider how much greater the surprise is at our works. Our works are greater because our works are much more unlikely. It's amazing that Jesus did the works He did, and I think it's more amazing that He would equip us to do these works as well. When you come to God the Father through the cross and resurrection of God the Son, you receive the indwelling and working presence of God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works within us to do works, and even greater works than the works Jesus did. This is because Jesus, who is working through us, and there are many more of us that he can work through. Don't neglect the work of the Spirit. You were saved so that the Lord God might transform you from the inside out by the Holy Spirit. You can never be without the Spirit what you can be with the Spirit. Excuse me. My tongue keeps trying to stick to the roof of my mouth. Oz Guinness tells a story that Lyndon Johnson used to tell. He told the story of a preacher who prepared his stirring but rather complicated sermon that required extensive notes. Unfortunately, on his way to church, he dropped his notes and a dog ate them. Sounds like what I'd said about my homework. Unabashed, he climbed into the pulpit and said, "Brothers and sisters, I'm afraid a dog ate my sermon notes on the way to church, but I'm going to just have to rely on what the Holy Spirit tells me. But I promise to do better next week." Now, we laugh about that, but we also wince a little bit, because how can we ever do better than the work of the Holy Spirit? Have you considered what the Holy Spirit wishes to do in and through your life? Have we as a church considered that yielding to the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest and wisest things we can do? The Spirit works. The Spirit also confirms. Jesus continued, "Just a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me." You see, at that time, the disciples were facing a lot of fears. They were asking themselves really difficult questions like, who will carry on the work that only Jesus can do? And when he leaves, how will we continue to know him and love him and have a relationship with him? Well, Jesus answered those questions in verses 12 through 18. "We will continue the works of Jesus as he continues to do what he has always done, but now through the power of the Holy Spirit residing in each of us who follow him." But what of the second question? When he leaves, how will we continue to know him, love him, have a relationship with him? To this, Jesus points again to the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Holy Spirit negates fear that our relationship with Jesus will be severed. He does that by taking up residence within all who come to Jesus. But how does our relationship with the Son be confirmed? Well, first, Jesus is kept before our eyes. "Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me." And the Holy Spirit draws us closer to Christ and establishes that Christ's presence is within us. Verse 19, "Because I live, you will also live." 20, "In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." And the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to us as we walk with him. "Whoever has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him." And through the eyes of the Holy Spirit, the Lord God lives within his people. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I mean, that's a marvelous truth. The Lord Most High God confirms that our relationship with Jesus is confirmed by the Holy Spirit. He strengthens it, intensifies it, develops it, grows it, sustains it, and sweetens it. The Holy Spirit isn't static. He isn't an immobile gift. In fact, the Spirit is not an it that was dropped into the believer's life. He's a he who lives in the believer and with him. And he brings the authority and peace and presence of the triune God himself. That doesn't mean that the Christian becomes divine. We don't become gods. We remain his creation. He remains the creator. But through the indwelling Spirit, the Lord takes up residence within us and begins transforming us from the inside out. He is the expanding, changing, house-rearranging Spirit who never leaves us as he finds us. Yes, the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven, and yes, he will come again. But in the meantime, he has not left us as orphans. He is with us, within us, breathing life into us, teaching us, challenging us, convicting us, guiding us, leading us, giving peace when we follow and withholding peace when we turn away from the Lord, whispering consolations when we're troubled, shouting warnings when we stray into dangerous territory. Through the Holy Spirit, our relationship not only continues, it thrives. Communicating this truth is a marvelous comfort. What this means is that God, in his mercy, has given us the gift of himself and given it as to such an extent that as if we were physically walking and talking with, fellowship and communing with Jesus. The Father and Son are present through the Spirit. You can know Jesus today, now. You can walk with Jesus. You can have a relationship with him. That's the real ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us peace through remembrance and hope. The Spirit works, the Spirit reminds, the Spirit gives peace and remembrance. These things I have spoken to you that while I am with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. When we have a loved one that has died, we struggle to remember their face. Time tends to make us struggle even harder. There is no substitute for physical presence. And while the true love that we have cannot be defeated, even by death, it is never again on this side of heaven as it was when the person was physically with us. After all, we're physical people, and the physical is what we seem to cling to. Jesus, of course, knew this about his creation, so the Holy Spirit was given to keep the memory of Jesus white hot within the hearts and minds of the disciples. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Lord Jesus left us a superior reminder of who he was and who he is, the Holy Spirit. This is where our relationship with Jesus is different than our relationship with one another. I mean, your loved one can give you his or her, or cannot give you his or her soul to live within you. They can impact you, they can leave their mark, but your soul can be deeply affected by them, but when they die, their soul departs for glory. Not so with Jesus. He was able to depart and impart. He leaves bodily, but he gives spiritually. He takes up residence within us. So the Holy Spirit reminds us and comforts us comforts us daily with powerful remembrance of Jesus. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit continues the teaching ministry of Jesus. He will teach you all things. Now, the Spirit's voice there is not past tense. It reminds us of what was taught, and it teaches us of what is being taught. He draws us further into God's revealed truth. He teaches us deeper in the ways of the gospel of grace. And what is the result of this amazing ministry? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, that the world may know that I love the Father. Peace. Peace through remembrance. Peace through the abiding presence of the Spirit. I mean, that's a peace that cannot be found anywhere else. It's a peace that passes all understanding. He said, not as the world gives, do I give to you. It's a peace that drives out fear. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It's a peace that strengthens belief. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. You see, we need the Spirit's work in our lives. At the beginning of the sermon, I quoted Francis Chan's wonderful book, Forgotten God. And I'd like to conclude with another observation that Chan made. It's a simple observation, but it's profound. And I offer it to you as a challenge. Here's what he said. I have yet to meet anyone with too much Holy Spirit. Indeed, nor have I. You know, as I was, and I felt kind of silly when I found out that this song came out in 2015, but as I was driving home the other day, I was listening to SOS Radio, excuse me, and a song came on that just captured me. I thought, Lord, what a confirmation. The song was called Same Power by Jeremy Camp, and I would like to read you the chorus and the bridge. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power that commands the dead to wake, lives in us. The same power that moves mountains when he speaks, the same power that can calm a raging sea, lives in us. Greater is he that is living in me. He conquered our enemy. No power of darkness, no weapon prevails. We stand in victory. We stand in victory. For some reason, that just captured my heart, thinking about that power, the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that God's word this morning has convicted us of our great need of the Holy Spirit. I mean, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, the Spirit lives, and he lives within you. All the hope and joy and peace of the triune God are living right in you. You see, the Spirit works and confirms and reminds. He produces fruit, seals us in Christ, and strengthens our relationship with Jesus. And somehow, I went too far. Thank you. He is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the indwelling God. Let him have his way in your life today. relinquish your sufficiency to the Holy Spirit. Let him do his work through you. And let the Holy Spirit of Christ give you peace. We talk a lot about wanting to be granted peace and comfort, discernment, wisdom. Those are all things that the Holy Spirit gives us. We talk a lot about wanting to be given guidance in all things. It took me a long time to get to that point where I said, Lord, is this what you would have me do? Instead of just charging forward and making a fool of myself, which happened quite a bit, until I came to that point that I understood the Spirit wants to guide us and direct us and keep us on a path that is headed right for our eternal destiny. Praise team, I think we got enough time to do that last song.